Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out important news. With us today, he's coming back and back and back again. He putting out great press releases, Bernard Tourdial of HPQ Silicon. But before we get to yet another great press release and all the metrics and everything that it means, Bernard, I want to address, I think, the big elephant in the room, which is the stock price. And despite the fact that you've put out, by all industry standards, some pretty incredible news, I think the shareholders want to hear about what's going on with the stock price. Why does it seem like we have this unrelenting continuous pressure here?
George, we know it's frustrating for all shareholders, including myself, as a large shareholders. But we really have strong reason to believe, based on publicly available information, okay, that the selling pressure in HPQ is not related to what HPQ is doing, but more related to one shareholder's has his own unique circumstances. All right. It's frustrating. It is. There is no word for me to put into it, how frustrated I am with the situation. But the selling is finite. We look forward to it. It's in. And the fact is that the quality and the things that we have done in the last 12 months, 12, 18 months, okay, has generated the liquidity necessary to absorb the selling. Right? So it's really a time where I would like shareholders to be able to differentiate between a market condition not related to us, but another party's situation, and what we're doing. And that's the message. I felt I had to address this now, because for us to start this interview and just go about, yay, we had another great press release today and another and great milestone that we reached, which is the factual reality, when our share price is going down, then people would have seen that it's not realistic. So
first time I've seen it, probably not the first time you've seen it. And sometimes we see it in big companies. Sometimes we see it in big New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ companies, you know, not to this extent, obviously, but for them, 2 or 3 percentage moves are pretty big things. Hey, even Bitcoin took a massive hit last year because of the crash of FTX. And, you know, Bitcoin investors who were, you know, the economics of the tokenomics and the halving and the mining and all that lined up. And they had the price collapse on them or get really hard, hit hard, really hard because of the FTX collapse. So, yes, external circumstances can impact the best companies and the best assets. But I'm glad you addressed that, because even I wanted you to address that. I think that was important. And on that note, look, it is another great press release. And I want to put this in perspective for everyone. Bernard obviously knows this. I want to put this in perspective for everybody. I was in California, and part of the time I was there, I was at a very big conference called the Roth Capital Conference. Walking around, talking to my network of people, meetings, and so on and so forth, and discovering new companies. And one company that I discovered was an electric motorcycle company. And obviously, they're using the kind of batteries that you're looking to improve, Bernard. Mm-hmm. When I spoke to the engineer, not the CEO or the CFO, but I asked the engineer, hey, what kind of anodes are you guys using? And we talked about that. I said, I want to do HPQ Silicon. He said, why? I took out the press release on my phone. I said, this is public. I showed him what the, and this was the last press release, obviously not the one today, because today is today.
Yeah. Our previous one.
But this is just 3 days ago. It was on Monday. And I said, look at this.
It was the last Thursday press release. Okay.
Look at this performance after 50 cycles, minimal drop off for, and I call it, I said to him, silicon augmented graphite anodes. And the first thing he said to me was, can you introduce me to this company? And Bernard, as you know, I introduced you right away. Yep, that was great for me to see that validation come from an electric motorcycle company speaking to the chief engineer. And when he saw the results, he wanted an introduction. So that is important, because we always talk about third-party validation. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was important. It was great for me, and I want to share that with all the shareholders. Not sure I can't share who the company is until you guys have had your discussions, but the introduction's already been made, and discussions will be, will be ongoing. So I thought that was important. Let's talk about this press release. So you've delivered continued great performance on your silicone-based material for anodes. Yeah. Now it's 100 cycles. Mm-hmm. By the way, that was fast because just last week was 50 and now 100. How big is it to continue to get this performance at 100 cycles versus 5, 25, 50, and now at 100? How big is it?
Well, it's very important because, 100 cycles starts to be very important. The key point to understand is that when you're doing your first, and this is what it is, it's really our first battery iteration that we are doing using our advanced silicone material. And we were very, very excited with the fact that it performed well during the first cycle, which is the key to it. And then we were happy to perform well to all these cycles moving forward. Now that we've reached 100, it tells us, okay, this is a material that has potential. There's going to be, there's going to be adjustment kinks into it as we move forward. It would be completely unrealistic for us, okay, and unrealistic for our shareholders to believe that the first iteration of our material we do will be the final one, the best one. But
no, I don't think anybody thinks that. Of course.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Or there are some people that want to overly emphasize this. My key point about this is it demonstrates that we are one of the few, okay, in the silicone business. Yes, we're not the only one, but we are one of the few, okay, that can make a battery this performant, okay, from the get-go.
And, well, you got that graph up that was, I think, pretty eye-opening.
We're top six.
You're top six on your first iteration, on your fourth test, I guess.
Well,
top six.
That is like that's a different matrix of verification, but still, we're still top six. The key point is, I think the best battery out there, 18650, okay, is at 3,800 microampere, okay, microamp or 3.8, what we published in our press release. We're at 100 cycle with 3.11, okay. And from everything that we've learned, okay, we believe we are striking distance to that target.
Okay, because I want to ask that. How close are you to that? How close are you to them?
Well, you will have to wait until we publish results on this. But we are, based on our theoretical understanding of where we are and what we can do to make that better, we feel very confident that target is reachable. And I think these type of batteries, because you can't go above a certain charge without changing the anodes and the cap, because everything is a question of balance between everything into it. So we're getting pretty close to the upper band of what is possible for an 18650 batteries. Then you go to bigger size batteries and those issues. The most performing one in the world is NanoGaF at 3,800. And we think that we can reach that goal, if not in the second iteration, maybe the third. But this is what we're doing. And if you read the press release, that's what we're saying that we're doing.
What comes next now? Do you continue with this first iteration and go to 150 cycles, or do you now take a bit of a pause? Because I'm not sure how it works, and I think maybe the same question maybe at home. Or now take a bit of a pause to create your second iteration, and then with the second iteration version, go to 150 cycles or 250 or whatever the next milestones are. How does this progress here?
The way it progresses, we go from the information we got so far, okay, and then we try to figure a way to go to the top iteration possible for this size battery. Once we sort of figured how to do this, then we know that we can make a material that can be blended to traditional anode materials for batteries and will allow them to increase the efficiency of the battery. So, and then we'll start discussing like with the company you mentioned you introduced us to, and others to see how we can start to fit that within their battery application, how this fits in for a business plan. People have to realize that there are no big producer of this material in North America. There are a lot of companies saying that they're working at this. It's like one of the things that we're experiencing, which is funny, it's not the same material, but it's sort of like related to graphite. And we're looking to test different graphite material also in our batteries. And we contact, you know, companies that have beautiful website, beautiful presentation about how great their graphite is for battery material. And you call them for samples, we don't have any. And we're doing the same thing with people that have some great batteries. And we're curious to see if we can get samples. And no, they don't have any samples of commercial material. So
a lot of talk, not a lot of walk.
This is where we differentiate ourselves with these results. Like one of the things I've learned when I was since I've been doing this, and it started with the nanoreactor, is we talked a lot about the potential of what we may eventually do. Okay. And then when you sign NDAs, it says, what are your battery results? And then, you know, we didn't do anything with a nanoreactor for reasons that we've already explained. But so this is why this time around we've did it differently. We didn't say we're going to do this. We did it. We announced it. We're now up to 100 cycle. And you've had, the guy was excited at 50 cycle. Imagine 100 cycle. Okay. Because maybe in those type of application batteries, okay, the life cycle is 100 cycle, 200 cycle, and then you move on to something, you exchange it because it is a consumable material. Okay. Because usually for these type of vehicles, the electric, the motorcycles, the short liquid, the short transportation distance, the battery is removable. It's exchangeable. So, you know, so there are so many markets related to what we are doing, okay, that there's going to be beautiful market niches for every one of the products we do. But the thing that's important to demonstrate is that we know how to make the material, which already puts us, we know how to make a material that's pretty darn close to the leaders. And we will know how to manufacture it at commercial scale and how to improve the manufacturing process to do it. And that's what we're working on.
Are you sending, are you doing your signaling that you do, like you did pretty strongly on the fumed silica side? Are you sending a signal out there? Because that graph, that said a lot. And then this quote, these results are incredibly encouraging indicators of the material's commercial viability in the battery manufacturing sector, mm-hmm. and underscore our ability to produce a blend of graphite and advanced engineered silicon anode material that significantly enhances battery performance. Right? Are you, between those two, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but between the graph where you put yourself at number six, that's pretty bold.
But I didn't put myself at number six, George. I did not put myself at number six. The results emanating from the thing meant that we're number six. I wanted
to. It's not a beauty pageant. You put yourself just ahead of Brad Pitt, but just before Tom Cruise. But are you sending another signal? Is that what's going on here? Because you're coming out with really strong language, which is great.
Well, you have to remember it's a very, very small world, okay? And people do use a lot of AI-related text to read all the information out there. So there are some buzzword that we're trying to put out to entice people. As I said last time, we got some people coming in asking questions. You spoke to somebody on a one-to-one basis. So yes, we are sending out feeder because this is what we do. This is what these press releases are there for. They are to educate shareholders, industry participants, that HPQ Silicon and with Novasium is one of those companies that is the leading edge of doing the work for silicon material. I know it sounds like a very ostentatious claim for myself, but that's really what it is.
No, I saw the reaction from the chief engineer of the electric motorcycle company. When I showed it to him, I brought up my phone. I said, look, the degradation, it's pretty much in lockstep with the degradation you get out of graphite and you didn't get that significant drop off. He wanted to meet you right away. So I'm not surprised by that. And you say in the press release, you're accomplishing all this with a product that's not been optimized.
Mm-hmm.
Expand on that. obviously we know what you mean by that, but expand on the specifics around how you're going to optimize.
Yeah, I'll give an example of a press release we've issued. We've issued a press release that we bought a patent. Well, Navasium bought a patent with regard to surface treatment for battery. Okay, we're not yet using that to improve our battery performance, but we know, or we have a good hunch, that that will definitely help us, you know, go even better than what we're doing. Right? So, and we have other ideas, concept that we're designed that we're working. So that's the point we're saying, not optimized, in the sense that this was sort of a plain Jane version of the material. Okay. But it's a plain Jane version of the material that we know how to commercially manufacture. Right. And we know what the steps are required. We know where the industrial step, we know how to work on improving this. So that's the key. That's the key part of what we're doing.
Devil's advocate, because I have to ask, because no matter what, on a day like this, when you put out arguably the best news you've had on this vertical of the company and you get, you know, a bit of a drop here.
Mm-hmm.
Are there risks that we're not seeing? Are we too optimistic? Are there risks? Are there, beyond the normal risks, are there risks that we're just not seeing, that you've still got many mountains to climb before you can even hope to become commercially viable? Or you're free to say, George, we've got standard mountains to climb, but we can see the path and we're very confident, you know. But I got to ask you, from a devil's advocate point of view, is there anything on this vertical here, that on this leg of the company, that keeps you up at night, that we're not seeing? Or maybe no, we haven't talked about enough.
No, not really. This is one we feel that we very well control. We feel that we have a good direction. As you clearly presented, there will be the normal humps that we go through as we go from demonstrating at smaller scale to having a first proof of commercial viability system going, to be able to do all the issues we're doing. And what we're trying to do is, it's going to be changing to the industry. It's going to be very advantageous. The additional beauty of what HPQ is doing is that there is a micro environment that is truly in our favor. Okay. First thing is that
micro or macro?
Macro, sorry.
Okay.
Macro, you're right. I confused them. Macro environment, which is, there is a big pressure to reshore, friendshore manufacturing. Now, our true competitors in these type of materials are really in Asia, and are basically forbidden under IRA rules, okay, to be used or to gain the credit. And I have a feeling that pretty soon they're also going to change the rule where they were trying to blend the material in Mexico so it worked in the U.S. So I think all of that's going to make it very, very clear that it's going to have to be a North American source type of manufacturing. Second of all, the carbon bomb tax that has been put out by the European as their way of, you know, putting tariffs on material made in China, is also going to start to play to our advantage. So our timing is very, very good. We're at the right time. Yes, there are other companies that are doing this presently in North America. I can name at least two: Group 14, Scylla. Yes, they have material. But my understanding of what they're doing is a much more expensive product, much more high-end product. What we're working much more is for a mass market product, where the profitability is going to be there. But the profit margin looks very, very interesting. We're talking about, you know, taking a raw material that we could buy or we could make with the QRR, which is 3NSI, which is going to be, what, $4 to $5 a kilogram? And turning it into a material that's going to sell for $70 a kilogram. So
yeah, that's quite the margin. That's quite the upsell.
There'll be cost in between. It's not instantaneous. Of course, people want to be very clear, but there'll be very significant profit margin within that.
Last question: your speed from five to 25 cycles to 50 to 100 has been really fast. I know you, I'm not going to ask you dates, so I would say that I'm not going to ask specifics, but should shareholders expect that pace to be continuing as you go forward for this specific pillar of the company?
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to stop issuing good press releases when I see the market reaction. No, I think people shouldn't. It's like with the NDAs at the beginning. The NDAs, I like to issue them because they're demonstrating an interest. It's just like, okay, this is moving forward. This is going 100. What I want, the message I want to do is we're already focused on making a better version of the batteries. Not because this one isn't good. It's because, you know, it's still just number six. Okay. We'd like to be, you know, number two, number one or two. And that's going to be mostly our goal. And then we'll figure out how to make sure there's more cycle. You know, at this moment, we've demonstrated that we can make a battery that's very good and very competitive in the top bracket. And the idea is for us is going to be to now to approach, especially here in Quebec. Quebec wants to be a hub for battery manufacturing. Okay. They have the gigafactories. They have the big graphite anode manufacturing companies. There's nobody doing what we're doing here in Quebec. Actually, nobody's doing it in Canada. So based on these results, okay, I feel much more comfortable to go then approach the governments and says, guys, this is what we've done. This is where we are. Okay, if you're serious about in the battery space, you cannot not have something in the silicon business. This is where we come in. And I think that's very good. And the same thing in Europe. Okay. Same thing in Europe. Novatium is going to approach on their side, government entities and those discussions, and says the same spiel that we're doing, but there. And they're also having some very good conversation in regard to some industrial group and those issues. So we'll cover two massive markets. And eventually we might cover more markets in Asia, but at this moment, let's try to be very focused on what we're doing. So HPQ stays
focused. You don't want to chase too many rabbits.
Exactly. So right now we're chasing Rabbit one that we're really chasing is the fume silicate reactor, okay? Because that is coming to fruition. That, you know, that we definitely know that once we make it scaled up, okay? There'll be interest. Actually, I was having a conversation with a friend of ours, or a shared contact of us based in Asia, which is came back to me about the fume silicate reactor. It says, you know, how soon can you send me samples so I can get orders? Okay, it is there. We'll be the only one in the world of fume silica that makes low carbon fume silica. Okay, so there's no demand for it right now because nobody can do it. But once you make it, there'll be demand for it. So that's one thing. Second thing we're going to be doing is advancing our advanced silicone materials for batteries, because that's another massive niche market. It doesn't take a rocket science to calculate, you know, 10 to 20% of the graphite market could be replaced by silicone. That gives you an idea of the size of the market, the scope. So there is place for multiple players that will do probably multiple products for different applications. There'll be some people that will do some batteries for military application, which is what NanoGraph just got the money to build a 30-ton per year plant, okay, to do that. And that's a great application. And there'll be some that will be doing that type of material for EVs. And with the switchover now more going toward hybrid, there's going to be a different type of batteries, because it's not the same type of batteries on hybrid than on one that goes a longer distance. So the key takeaway is on our main stool that we're advancing, our main initiative, we are advancing. They're reaching significant milestones that are pre-commercial. And that's what's important.
Money, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate that you actually took on the elephant in the room first, head on. I think it was important to talk about that before we got to the good news of the press release. I think that provided much better context. And I also want to be clear for everyone at home, too, who might have been thinking, be more specific or ask more specifics. You just can't. You wouldn't have been able to say more than that, even if I pressed you, because those are the rules at the end of the day. But I appreciate that, and great news today. It is. We can't forget about that. The short term is the selling pressure, the long term is this. And I think a lot of shareholders are happy with this, and we'll all be a lot happier when circumstances are different in the future. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bernard. Awesome.
George, if I could just interject something.
Yeah, of course.
For every seller that there is right now, there's been buyer, okay? And but the buyers, it's the buyer basically, the buyer understands the seller. So as they come in, there have been buyer to buy them out. You know, I would prefer that there's a buyer that comes in and cleans it all up on the way up, but there is buyers. And that's the key point. Why is there a buyer? Because there is something in HPQ. The value of the projects that we have are real. They're advancing. They're moving forward.
And time will tell who's right on these transactions. But I think I know where you stand. I think I know where I stand. But time will tell. But when you're building great business and you're building great products the way you're doing it, you definitely put the odds in your favor and on your side. Bernard, sorry, man, I got a bit of a cold too. I think I caught it from the plane last night coming back from California, but great press release. And again, that validation I saw from the EV motorcycle company, I think that was just amazing, and looking forward to seeing how that pans out. And when the next press release is coming, because we're doing these almost, we've been doing one a week pretty much since the beginning of the year.
On average, one a week. Some people say it's too much, but when we have news, we issue it and we'll talk about it and we'll try to address point. I think we should do a, we've been saying we should be doing this, but we should do a question and answer.
Okay. Yeah, we'll think about that. I guess you'll be the one to best determine when that Q&A should be, because I'm always a big believer that Q&A should take place right when you think you've gotten to a really important point. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know if that's today or maybe next week or maybe something 2 weeks from now, because that's usually the best time, or a month from now or a year from now. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea, obviously. I wish I did, but that wouldn't change anything on my end. But you let us know. And I think the shareholders appreciate that, because you're always so transparent. But thanks for joining us today, buddy. And congratulations. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
For anybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening to my podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform. To Bernard Tourneau, CEO of HPQ Silicon, trades in Canada, HPQ, for Fendi the S, HPQFF. Start your due diligence on Agoracom, then make your way over to the HPQ website. And guys, trust me, if you're new to the story, or if you're an old shareholder and hasn't been there in a while, the collateral there is amazing. I got to admit, the team that's putting together that information, the way they're putting together on the website, is fantastic. So take advantage of it. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.